Welcome. It is good to be here with you. I am so glad to see you. In case you don't know who I am, my name is Elise. I'm one of the pastors on staff, but I'm actually not supposed to be working right now. I'm on maternity leave. But I am here because in the summer, well, first of all, I miss you. Second of all, this is our church. We love this church. We love being here with you, and you are our community. But also, we just, like, this is something that I love doing. I love connecting with you. I love being able to explore with you the word and explore what it says with you. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us here today. And if you are new, I would love to meet you after the service and get to know you a little bit better. If you didn't know, there are sermon notes available for you to follow along. If you need childcare or if you just want a break, I guess, and you want to drink energy drinks with Joe Gabrick, there is a children's program upstairs available as well. So, like I said, we're continuing this morning in our summer series. We're continuing in our series on the book of Acts. And it's a series where we've been exploring different stories in the book of Acts in the Bible, stories of ordinary people who were used by an extraordinary God to see amazing things happen. And this week, we have not one person we're exploring, we have two, which means we're here for double the time. I hope you packed snacks. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. Just kidding. We are actually going to be exploring the story of two people who are always mentioned together when they're talked about in the story of Acts. In fact, it's very rare that you see one of their names without the other person's name following right after. We're going to be talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Now, I love the story of these two. And I didn't really explore their story or even really know of their story until I was in Bible college, which was quite a few years ago now. But when I first found out about these two, they were very interesting to me because I, at the time, was dating Christian, who is my now husband, and he and I both knew that we felt called to go into ministry. We both knew that we felt called to be pastors. So seeing this example of a couple in the Bible serving together and doing things together that most couples wouldn't do, it felt extra relatable to me. It felt kind of inspirational to me. Now, before you think that this message is just going to be about marriage, you should know that there's so much more to their story than just what it means to have a healthy marriage. That's part of it, but there's so much more to it. I think that they are actually an incredible example to us of learning to serve God with our whole lives in every season of life. And I think this is an important message for us because so often there are things that we want to do, ways that we want to step up or things that we want to try when it comes to serving God. But more often than not, we find a million reasons not to do it. You know, we might say, oh, I would love to host a home group, but I'm renting, my place is really small, I don't even know if I know how to put out good snacks, I'm not very good at that, I'm not sure that I can do it. Or we might think to ourselves, oh, I would love to, you know, sing or play an instrument on the band, but you know what, I'm super rusty, I haven't played in a long time, or I don't know all the songs that the band plays, so I probably just wouldn't do a very good job. I'm not ready. Or we might think to ourselves, you know, I would love to lead a home group. I would love to lead a small group or a Bible study, but I really feel like I don't know as much about the Bible as Pastor Andy does or as, you know, someone else does. So I really don't know if I can do it. I don't think I'm ready. See, we do this over and over in our heads so often. We find a million reasons why we shouldn't do something. Way more reasons why we shouldn't, rather than the reasons why we can. And so often, when we do this, we stop ourselves before we can even start. I think in Priscilla and Aquila's stories, we see that in every season of life, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're single or married, male or female, young or old, whatever ethnic background you are, I think you see that in every season of life, God gives us something to share, and he's given us more to share than we think we have. So we're going to look at their story in Acts chapter 18, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 4 and 24 to 26. They say this. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, this is later on in the story, by the way. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. And this is after Priscilla and Aquila had gone down to Ephesus with Paul, and Paul had left. So it was just them. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, although he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So this is kind of the main places in this book of Acts that we see the story of Priscilla and Aquila. So as we look at their story, how do we see God? How did we see God use Priscilla and Aquila? What can we take from their example that helps us to know how God can use us? The first thing that we can say about Priscilla and Aquila is this. They shared the mission. They shared the mission. Whatever they were doing, they did together. And I already said that at the beginning of this message that Priscilla and Aquila are almost always mentioned together. They are almost always mentioned as a pair, as a team. And it just shows us that everything they did together. They lived together, they worked together, and they served in ministry together. They taught and they led in the church together. Now, in their culture, this was basically unheard of. This was completely unusual. Because that is not what husbands and wives did. Now, it's hard for us to imagine because our culture has come a long way since then, but we still find little, almost like remnants of that kind of thinking in our culture today, don't we? We can kind of imagine this. So, for example, I think about a couple years ago, my family had decided to host like a Christmas potluck party, and we were all supposed to bring something to contribute to this Christmas potluck. And you should know this, that around Christmas time, life and work gets very busy for me, but work really slows down for Christian. It's kind of a slow season around Christmas time. And so we were trying to talk about what are we going to do about this potluck? What are we going to bring? And I'm, you know, kind of stressing about it because I'm like, I can't pull something together. Like, I don't have time, whatever. I don't have capacity. And so Christian goes, well, I can do it. I'll put something together. That's fine. So he throws together some meatballs in a slow cooker. He throws them together. He brings them to the potluck. Well, wouldn't you know that we go to this party and everybody comes up to me and says, wow, those meatballs, they were so delicious. And I had to go over and over again, over and over again. I had to be like, no, actually, it wasn't me. It was Christian that made those. And over and over again, my aunties would be like, wow, like just completely blown away by the idea that Christian made the meatballs for the potluck, right? And you need to know this. I'm going to tell you a secret. They were just Costco frozen meatballs. They were Costco frozen meatballs he threw into a slow cooker and put sauce on. Tasty, but still. But it's just an example. It was totally outside of their realm of expectation that he would be the one making the potluck when he has me, right? And it's just this example. It comes up in subtle ways, but we have these ideas of what's appropriate for men to do and what's appropriate for women to do, right? And that was certainly true of Priscilla and Aquila's time, but in their case, even more so. In their case, it was a matter of preserving society, that men would do what only they could do. They could lead, they could, you know, work, they could get involved in the public square and get involved in politics. whereas the women were only allowed to be involved in matters that related to the house and matters that related to children. That was their lane. Stay in it. That's basically how it worked. So the fact that Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned doing things together, teaching people together, leading together, working together, it actually highlights how unusual they were for their time. And in fact, some scholars actually believe that the reason that it's even more unusual that Priscilla's name comes first, but the reason for that is because when people in the early church and early Christians would think of the couple, more often than not, it was Priscilla that would come to mind first because she was the one who would lead the teaching. She was the one who would lead. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. These things that we overlook, but they meant so much. They meant so much in the culture and the time that they lived in. What this means is that Priscilla and Aquila were very much seen as equals. They were seen as people who brought equal value to the church, equal value to their work, equal value to everything that they did together. They shared the mission. They shared responsibility of doing what God had called them to do. They didn't force either of them to stay in their lane. They didn't make Priscilla shrink herself down, and they didn't force Aquila to be someone that he wasn't. And Priscilla and Aquila used their gifts to their fullest extent, regardless of what society told them they could or couldn't do. They shared the mission. The second thing that we notice about Priscilla and Aquila's story is that they shared their means. They shared their means. One detail that often gets overlooked in their story when people tell it is that the two of them were actually refugees. They were refugees. It's right at the beginning of Acts 18 where it says that Priscilla and Aquila had met Paul. They'd gone to Corinth because they were part of the group that were told to leave Rome, the city of Rome, by the emperor. They were kicked out, essentially, under threat of punishment, under threat of death. They were forced to leave the city that they had made their living in. So imagine this with me. Imagine this with me. Let's say that tomorrow, the premier or prime minister or mayor or whoever of Vancouver, of BC, says to all of us, really, hey, you know what? We've decided Christians are not good for the city. And we're going to actually ask you, you're going to have to leave your home. You're going to have to leave your city, pack up all your belongings, take what you need with you. You have to go and you have to get out of here. We don't care where you go, but you can't be here. Now imagine that you had to pack up all your stuff, you had to leave, and you had to move somewhere completely new to you, like Edmonton, Alberta, or Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Imagine you just had to uproot your life all of a sudden and make your way to a new place. You had to find a new job, you had to find a new community, you had to find a new place to live, and you had to uproot everybody in your family in order to do so over something that really shouldn't have been uprooted over. This is basically the situation that Priscilla and Aquila were in. They were uprooted and forced to leave the place that they had made their life in. And of course, when we think about it that way, it's easy to see that that would probably be a really difficult experience, if not traumatic. Having to up and leave and go like that, like, it's hard to imagine what kind of mental state you'd be in or how you'd feel about that, right? Which is what makes it all the more extraordinary, I think, that in this season of life, when they're facing this difficult season of life, they decide to open their home to Paul. They decide to invite Paul into their lives and invite Paul into their homes, sharing their space with him, sharing their food with him, sharing what they have with him, despite the fact that they have every excuse to not have a guest in their home at that time. They had every reason to say, actually, we can't do it. But despite the difficulties, they welcomed him in. And I think that it's an incredible reminder to us that despite difficulties, God can still use whatever we have. God can still use whatever you have. God has always given us something, no matter what season of life you're in. God has always given us something to share with others. The third thing that we see in Priscilla and Aquila's story is that they shared their mentorship. And this kind of goes along with that second point. They shared their mentorship. When I was in college, I spent some time being an intern at my local home church. Not this home church, my other home church. And I was basically like Devin or like Joe. I, you know, would help out with stuff around the church, get involved, do a lot of learning. But the most impactful part of that internship, I think, was where I lived. Because I had to stay with one of the pastors who was on staff at the time, and she invited me to take up one of their spare rooms and live with them for the summers that I was interning and even for about a year after I graduated from college. And if you went to summer getaway, then you actually know who they are. It was Darcy and Leanne McAllister. They were the ones that hosted me in their house. And I have to say that there are so many things that they taught me, and they would never, probably never call it mentorship at the time. But there are things that they said to me around the dinner table that I still remember to this day. One moment that I remember in particular is when I had to host, like I had to lead a youth night, and it went really badly. It was chaotic. Like, kids are bouncing off the walls. I'm trying to keep track of everybody. I brought peanuts in for Sundays. I didn't know that the one kid who had a peanut allergy showed up that night for the first time in 6 weeks. Like, it was just kind of chaotic and awful, right? And I remember going home that night and being like, oh, this sucks. I'm terrible at this. I can't do this. I'm really bad at this. And I woke up the next morning, came downstairs for breakfast, and Darcy and Leanne were there, and they were like, how'd it go? Like, how did youth go? I kid you not, this was exactly what I said. I came down, and I said, I think I'm going to go work at H&M and become a manager there. I was ready to cut all ties over one youth night and go work in retail, which is fine. I loved retail, but I remember they were kind of, like I said that, and it kind of came out of left field, and they were a little bit like, okay, interesting, tell us more. Like, you know, why? Why do you feel that way? What happened? And so I'm explaining to them what had happened, and I remember they just kind of went, oh, okay, and they let me kind of vent and talk about it, and then they started going, well, I remember one night where I did this, and they started telling their own story of something that they did that went totally wrong and went totally sideways. And we all had a really good laugh about it. And as you can see now, I didn't go, you know, cut all ties and go work at H&M. So we're here. It worked. Like, they encouraged me. But they really did encourage me and challenge me at lots of moments, lots of critical moments like that where I was really discouraged, or moments where I needed to be challenged and moments where I needed to kind of be, you know, pushed a little bit. They did that too. It was all these little moments where they shared with me and built a relationship of trust with me so that they could challenge and encourage me. And I think in the same way, Priscilla and Aquila saw this young man who had a gift, who had passion, who was already in the middle of doing some incredible work for God. And they looked at him and they saw the gap. They saw the gap where he just needed a little bit of guidance. He just needed someone to tell him the things that he was missing, because we don't know what we don't know, right? He just needed somebody to tell him the things that he was just missing, something like the full gospel that would help him share more completely and more accurately everything that Jesus was trying to share with the world. And I think that they saw this young man and they went, yes, we know exactly what to do. Because why? Because Paul had stayed in their house however long ago that was. And it's not hard to imagine that during that time when Paul was with them, that he was teaching them, that he was sharing with them, that he was imparting wisdom to them and giving them advice and challenging them and encouraging them and calling out their gifts and empowering them basically to be who God had called them to be. And so when they saw this young man, they see this young man and they see this incredible potential in him, they know, we know exactly what we're supposed to do here. We know exactly what Paul would have us do here. We know exactly what Jesus wants us to do here. We're going to share our mentorship. We're going to share what was passed on to us. And so what Paul passed on to Priscilla and Aquila, what had been passed on to him from Barnabas, passed on from Priscilla and Aquila to Apollos. And the chain of mentorship just continues and continues and continues to incredible impact for the kingdom of God. It's an incredible picture of what can happen when we're willing to share what we have and share what we've received. So with that in mind, how can God use us? Based on their example, based on their story, and us seeing how they have shared what they received, shared what they were given, how can God use us? What can God do in and through us? And how can we share what we have? Well, the first way, I think, is God can use us by using our relationships, using our relationships. Now, I told you right at the beginning, this is not a message about marriage. But I think that there's a value in Priscilla and Aquila's marriage that applies to all relationships, but especially the ones closest to us, whether that be your parents or your siblings or your spouse or your children. That value is this, that all relationships, but especially the ones closest to us, need to be ones that empower us to be all that God has called us to be. They have to be relationships that challenge us and help us to fully be who God made us to be. And this is important because relationships that force us to make ourselves smaller, that force us to hold back our gifts or force us to believe that we can't do certain things, that discourage us from trying things, these are relationships that don't help us, and these are relationships that do not help the purposes of God either. There are still lingering voices in church and in culture that tell us that we can't do something because we're female or because we're male. There are voices that say you can't do something because you're too young or because you're too old. There have been voices that have said you can't do something because you don't have the right background, because of the season of life that you are in. And if there's anything in the book of Acts that I think God wants us to take from the whole book, it's this. It's that we are all called and we are all capable, because of the Holy Spirit living in us, to do what God has made us to do. We are all called, we are all capable to do something that no one else around you, no one else in this room can do. Because God wired you and God designed you to do it in a way that no one else can do. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers you. God is the one who put it in you. Some of us need to stop holding others back. We have to figure out how we can empower others to be all that God's called them to be. But there are also others of us who need to stop holding ourselves back. We need to stop listening to the voices that tell us, you can't do this, you're too this, you can't do this, you're not enough, you never will be ready. You cannot listen to that voice anymore. We need to stop holding ourselves back, and we need to, and you know what we need to do actually, is when you know somebody who has been holding themselves back, we need to be the people that help them stop listening to those voices. We need to encourage the people around us to be all that they can be who God called them to be. The second way that God can use us is that God can use our resources. God can use our resources. Like Priscilla and Aquila, we have to allow God to use what we have and not focus on what we don't have. There's a term for this, by the way. You've probably heard it before. When we are so focused on only what we don't have, it's called a poverty mindset or a scarcity mentality. Scarcity mindset. And I actually saw this in real life not too long ago. I had a family member who was talking about his experience going through a Timmy's drive-thru, at Tim Hortons drive-thru. And he was telling us he had this coupon. He had a coupon for a free sandwich at Tim Hortons. And he pulled it up in his app, and he was trying to get it done. He was hungry, you know, whatever. He was trying to get it through, and it wasn't working, and they spent probably 5 to 10 minutes trying to get this coupon to work for the free sandwich, and they couldn't. So in the end, he just drove away. He didn't get a sandwich, and he wouldn't, you know, he didn't order one. And I was like, I remembered so distinctly that all of us who were in this conversation, we were listening to him, and we're like, well, why didn't you just buy the sandwich, right? Like, why didn't you just pay the however many dollars it was? They had $7 or $8 and buy the sandwich or buy a bagel or something. And he actually stopped and he thought about it and he was like, you know what? I'm just so used to not having the money to buy a sandwich that it never occurred to me that I could just buy the sandwich. And this is the way that poverty mentality works, right? It's not about budgeting. It's not even really about that. It's about becoming so accustomed to looking at what you don't have that you forget all the stuff that you do have. You're so focused on all the ways that you don't have enough that you stop looking at what you have as something to steward and something to use wisely and responsibly and to use generously too. That's poverty mentality. And the only way to break out of that, the only way to break out of that poverty, scarcity mindset is to start looking realistically at what you have. It is to start looking at what you have and to focus on all the things, all the resources that God has given you as opposed to focusing on what you do not have. That's the only way to do it. In every season, if Priscilla and Aquila teach us this, in every season, no matter what difficulties you're facing, take a look at what you have, and don't focus on what you don't have. I'm not saying be irresponsible, but I am saying look at all that you have as a blessing from God rather than focusing on all the things that you don't have compared to your neighbor. The third way that God can use us is God can use our circle of influence. And this is something I think, no matter how many resources you have, no matter what's in your bank account or what kind of house you have or whether you're single or married, I think that all of us have a circle of influence. We all have people in our lives that we can impact, that we can influence. We all have people that we can listen to, we can encourage, we can challenge. And so the question I think that Priscilla and Aquila bring up for us is, who is that? Who are the people in your life? Who is the people in your life that you can challenge, that you can encourage, that you can mentor? Who are people that you see around you with potential? Who are people around you who need encouragement or need even just a challenge or need a friend? Who are the people around you that you can pour into? And maybe on the flip side of that, who could pour into you? Who is somebody that could actually help you to be all that God has called you to be? Who are some friends or some leaders or some mentors that could actually help pour into you, young or old? It's a chain, right? We talked about this. It's a chain of mentorship so that we can pass on what's passed on to us. So who can you build a relationship of trust with that you can empower and encourage? Christian and I saw the impact of this in our own lives. I mentioned that, you know, Leanne and Darcy, I stayed at their house, and really I lived with them all the way up until I was getting ready to get married to Christian. I lived with them all the way up until Christian and I finally got married and we moved in together. And in that time, again, there were so many moments that so much wisdom that I picked up just by watching them, just by seeing how they functioned around each other. And what's amazing is Christian actually had that too. He lived with a family when he was interning that poured into him, that fed him, that welcomed him graciously, that really had an impact on him. Now, Christian and I, we pastored together, and in the beginning, I remember we didn't have a whole lot to go on, but we always tried. We always tried to leverage what we had. We always tried to share what we had. And we really did feel like we were there to share the mission together. We were sharing the mission together. We wanted to share our resources, and we wanted to pass on what had been passed on to us. So when an intern came to work at our church, it was kind of a no-brainer. We said, yeah, we have a spare room in our house. We have a spare room, and we'd be more than happy to have this intern come and live with us for the summer. And she did. And again, over and over again, the pattern repeats itself. We saw so many amazing conversations happen, not in the church office, but at the dinner table or on the couch after dinner or driving on the way to work. We had so many moments where we were able to just kind of talk and share, and she taught us things and we taught her things. And what's amazing when we look back and we look now at where she's at in life is now she is a pastor in the Okanagan, and she is married to a youth pastor there also. And they are doing the same thing that was passed on to us. They're passing on mentorship to the people around them as well. And it's just this amazing reminder of what can happen when you're simply willing to share what's been passed on to you. When you're simply willing to do for others what others have done for you. And you're willing to look at your life and go, this is what I've got, God. How can I use this to serve your kingdom and to serve your church? So my question for you is, how could God use you? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're going to have a moment of worship and share and prayer time together. And we're just going to take some time to think about this question. What has God given to you? What has God passed on to you? And how could you pass that on to others? I think sometimes when you hear me say that, you might be thinking to yourself, Elise, I haven't had this. I've never had somebody, I'm however many years old, and I've never had someone actually mentor me or actually pour into me. I've never had somebody who actually called themselves my mentor. I've never felt like I had somebody pass wisdom or encouragement or challenge onto me. I've never had that. I don't know how I would start. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. I'm not ready. I don't know. I'm not enough. But I think that what God would say to all of us here is no matter where you find yourself, no matter what season of life that you're in, you don't have to be the one that gets it perfect. You don't have to be the one that does it right 100% of the time. You don't have to be the one that knows every answer to every question. You don't have to be the one who feels the most prepared in the room and is the most confident or boldest person in the room. You don't have to be that. You just have to be the one that starts. You just have to be the one that starts the chain. You just have to be the one that takes that step of faith so that others can follow in your footsteps. That's all you have to do. And God will walk with you through the rest. Would you stand with me? Like I said, we're going to go into a time of prayer and worship, and we're going to have a couple of pastoral staff and prayer workers here to pray with you if you have a need, or if you just want to, if you've been thinking about this question and you don't know how God is calling you, we would love to pray with you. But I want to invite you to think about that question. How could God use you? Who could God use you to empower? Who could God be using in your life to empower you? And how can you share what's been passed on to you? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you have given us so much. And Lord, it may not always feel that way sometimes when we're looking at the things that we don't have, when we're looking at the way we've fallen short or the mistakes that we've made. But God, you really have. You've given us so much. You've given us everything that we need because we have you, because we have your Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so, Lord, I pray, just like Priscilla and Aquila, that you would give us the faith to live as people who have something to pass on. Something to pass on. May we know that it all comes from you, that you are the source of all wisdom and all life and all knowledge. And we pray, Jesus, that you would give us the boldness, the confidence, the courage to be people who step forward and who start. So we love you. We thank you. Pray all this in your name. Amen.